Welcome to Federal Insights. Digital transformation depends on infrastructure modernization, sponsored by Swish Data and Riverbed Technologies.
Hello and welcome to today's program. I'm Eric White. If you're a devout follower of federal technology news, you've seen plenty of stories about federal agencies trying out new digital practices through different innovation projects. But are any of the lessons learned ever applied beyond those projects? And how are agencies going about it? The General Services Administration's Digital Consultancy Wing, 18F, recently investigated what makes modern digital practices stick within a government entity beyond a single innovation project. To find out some of the results, Federal News Network's Jason Miller spoke with Alex Pandell, the director of 18F's Human Services Portfolio and the project lead for the Best Practices in Digital Transformation report.
Alex, it's interesting that as 18F did the interviews, you went down different levels. And did you get different responses or different rationale or different reasons for why things are tough or why things work from the different people you spoke with and the different levels, you know, the higher level versus the worker bees versus the management side?
Yeah, I'm really glad we did it because it did yield some slightly different perspectives on things, not like conflicting, but just like, you know, people at different levels of the organization are focused on different things. And so it was really nice to hear different strategies of like at the leadership level, these are kind of the approaches or the things you need to be thinking about to really make space for this work. At the ground level, these are the things you need to be thinking about. So it definitely did yield some different perspectives, but they all kind of reinforced each other in a way that was really natural and felt correct in what we see in our work day to day in terms of, you know, what it actually takes, since it's definitely not like one person is not going to transform an agency. It takes multiple levels and, you know, multiple folks working together. So that kind of diverse perspectives was really useful.
One of the things that stands out to me as we talk transformation, we hear it time and again, whether at conferences or during testimony on Capitol Hill or wherever, is it's easy to play, I'll call it buzzword bingo. I'll say it's easy to come to Pollyanna conclusions. Well, you know, you just need to have culture change, right? You hear that time and again. How did you all make sure you stayed away from just kind of ending up where a lot of these research projects end up with, which is, well, we just need, you know, a better workforce, or we need, you know, better this, or Congress has to change, which is, you know, another big challenge into itself.
Yeah, I really appreciate you calling that out, because this was definitely something that we were super focused on and like a little wary about wading into this topic, because so much of the stuff that's out there, yeah, it can be a little hand wavy or it can be not super actionable. So for our research team, it's really important that we were super precise and specific about what we were talking about. So we definitely made sure to actually define what we meant when we were talking about digital transformation. You know, everyone has a slightly different definition, but we wanted to define what we were talking about. And we also wanted to make sure we grounded our findings in like specific examples rather than just, you know, like ending things with sweeping generalizations. And I think what was really, really helpful in us actually being able to do that is plain language is really, really important to 18F. So we actually have a really strong in-house content strategy team. And we had a fantastic content strategist on the research team with us, Nicole Fenton, and she really helped us make sure that our language is really crisp and specific and that we were keeping things really concrete so that, you know, so that the report could actually be useful to our government partners that we wanted to read it. So I appreciate that you noticed, because that was definitely a focus.
Did you find yourself kind of falling into those areas sometimes? Like, again, I'll go back to one of the big ones we hear is culture change. Did you find yourself saying, okay, what does that really mean? How do we get out of that just saying people need to think differently or people need to, quote unquote, take risks?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think culture change is actually one of the main ones that it was like, okay, but like, what do you mean by that? And I think we really made sure to structure our interviews and our research questions so that we would continue to kind of probe for the actual specific examples and concrete practices. So, you know, for that one, it makes me think of, you know, a theme that we heard in a few of our researches in a few of our interviews was around like actually using what we ended up calling community organizing techniques. So like actually, you know, doing the work to organize brown bags or other things to actually bring other parts of the agency along on the transformation journey. Like that was sort of us driving to, okay, but how did you get that culture change? Like, what actual day-to-day practices did you do in order to make that happen? And that was what got us to some concrete examples like that. So, you know, it's just asking why. Because, yeah, we knew that there's already plenty of writing that says culture change is what needs to happen. So we wanted to try to get down to, and how do you do that?
And that actually leads us to a great segue into, okay, so what did you find? What were some of those trends? What were some of those, let's start with the barriers to transformation. We think we know them all, but what were some of the ones that stood out to you?
Definitely. So there were a bunch that came up. Four really rose to the top. I'm happy to talk about those briefly, and then I will go into the one that is most resonates with me and my work since then. But the four that really came up time and time again in our interviews was when teams have just extreme technical debt, or really in some ways it's like infrastructural debt that just makes it impossible for teams to iterate rapidly. Another one was it can be challenging to actually articulate the benefits and value of transformation and make it really concrete so that you can continue to invest in it. Another was just the hierarchy of government can make it challenging to have like empowered teams who can make project level decisions without having to run it up the leadership chain. But the last one that really, really stands out, it stood out in our research and it really stands out in our partner work with government agencies all over the place is when you fail to connect directly with end users. And this one was a really big deal because at the end of the day, there's no better motivation to try a new approach or think creatively about a problem than actually having to like witness someone that you really care about, like a constituent, struggling with that problem. So watching users interact with a service and struggling, or on the flip side, like watching them interact with something that you made that makes it easier and seeing that thing be easier is just super, super motivating. And since, you know, the work of transformation is really challenging, it takes a long time, it takes a lot of like bringing people along. When you don't have that direct feedback loop and that direct connection to the people you're trying to serve, it can be really hard to sustain the motivation to keep kind of fighting the inertia and trying to advocate for new ways of doing things. So that connection to users is really core. And without it, we found that teams tended to burn out faster.
That's Alex Pandell, director of the Human Services Portfolio at 18F, speaking with Federal News Network's Jason Miller. We'll have more from this interview after a quick break. I'm Eric White.
Your network is the backbone of your agency, and during this pandemic, network capacity, speed, and security are more important than ever. Consider what IDC describes as the most significant advancement in the networking industry, software-defined WAN. Riverbed and Swish have teamed together to bring you SteelConnect EX, a centralized policy-based platform for dynamically managing application traffic across links and delivering the agility and cost-effectiveness your agency needs. Agility, performance, and security. Visit us at riverbed.com.
We continue our interview with Alex Pandell, the director of 18F's Human Services Portfolio. She spoke with Federal News Network's Jason Miller.
At a fairly recent hearing before the House Government and Reform Subcommittee on Government Operations, the director of TTS, Anil Cherian, talked about 18F and how you guys are really focused on this concept of user-centered design. So walk me through maybe some of the things that came out of during your research that were some of those best practices that really said, hey, if you follow these steps, 2, 3, 5, 7, however many steps, this will really help you go in the right direction toward transformation.
Definitely. So there were kind of a number of like practices or tools that surfaced as kind of the themes across agencies that were more successful in transformation. I mean, unsurprisingly, the first one was the value of connecting frequently to end users. So what I just talked about rose sort of the top of best practices. Another one I mentioned before as well was using those community organizing techniques to kind of create a community of practice throughout the agency. A couple of other ones that were interesting was referring to authoritative guidance from elsewhere in government to kind of demonstrate that there's actually a precedent for modern practices and it's not actually that new and risky. And the last one was building long-term cross-functional teams. And I feel like that last one really, really resonated through many of the interviews, but also just in our work since then with our partners, because it can feel really different to government teams, because traditionally in government, different functions are often kind of siloed across an agency. So, you know, the policy folks work separately from the IT folks, who work separately from the procurement folks, and then the vendors are often a different part of the agency. And we've seen time and time again how important it is to actually bring all of those diverse perspectives together to work side by side, not just like in a meeting here or there, but like actually as one team day to day from the very beginning of a project. And that doesn't just benefit whatever project that team is working on together, but it also creates that kind of cross-pollination that's necessary for new practices to really take hold in an agency beyond just like one isolated team. So that cross-functionality is really important, and it also helps, you know, that exposure to the user needs sort of penetrate all parts of the agency and kind of push everybody forward together.
Let's look at that a little bit more about the cross-functional teams. One of the challenges is getting people to get on board to say, yes, I want to be part of it, because, well, why should I? I'm so busy already. Why should I do this transformation thing that may or may not work? You know, it's there's some trust that has to be built up too. So how do you take that first step to create the trust? And then how do you kind of grow that cross-agency functional team?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I feel like something that we find to be really important, and also sort of resonated through the research as well, is creating air cover from the top, or even just like the mid-senior level in an agency, to kind of set the tone for a team that like, hey, we're going to try something different. And it's really important that we all work together, and it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay. We're probably going to fail on some parts of this, and that's okay. And that can really like turn the temperature down and relieve some pressure on everyone, and make it easier for folks to, you know, be willing to engage in discussions where they may not be the expert, because, you know, we're talking about a technical concept and that can feel really disconcerting. But I think there's a big role for leadership, especially given how hierarchical government can be, to create that safe space for trying new things. So that's something that we saw being a really important sort of first step to making all of this possible.
A lot of times we hear from people who do this type of transformation that, oh, you got to start small. You got to find a champion within the financial management or the HR or the acquisition world or the mission area, and have them kind of lead to show. Did that come out as well? Did you find in the use cases and examples you looked at that, hey, because the mission person and the tech person were friends or got to know each other and developed that trust, that launched this process, that this transformation effort more broadly?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple things in there that you said, but I definitely think a theme that came through was how important it is, like who sort of represents the face of that initial kind of attempt at new practices. And teams where they selected someone who was already like a well-respected, kind of long-tenured person from the government, and often it was someone from like the mission area who really lived and breathed the program, that went really far in kind of earning the trust of the rest of the team. And then, yeah, definitely, like when folks who don't traditionally work together but are getting the exposure to kind of work together on a team, that just person-to-person trust is really, really important in bringing practices to, you know, different corners of the agency. Because like maybe the mission area is really on board with new approaches, but if the IT folks aren't, it's not going to work. So being able to just work together as humans and build that trust is really, really, really important for sort of greasing the skids on that.
We talked about barriers as something that popped up, but then there's some also, you guys came up with some of the best practices. Let's walk through those a little bit too. I know we probably covered some of them, but are there any that, one, we haven't covered, and two, anything you'd like to really put a finer point on?
One that might be worth digging into, particularly in the government context, because we found it really interesting, was how important it was to actually like refer to existing either policies from other agencies or existing guidance from OMB or other sort of like oversight bodies that kind of set precedents for those new practices in the government already. And I think this is really important because in many ways, government is supposed to be the steward of the public good. And understandably, that makes it you know, important to be conservative about taking risks and trying sort of new approaches like working in the open or, you know, releasing iteratively can feel kind of risky. And like being a first mover on that can feel dangerous. So being able to point to like, no, wait, actually this agency over here is already doing it, or OMB actually released an open source policy, so we are actually being advised to work in these new ways, can be a really helpful tool to kind of like reduce that sense of risk and make it feel safer to try new things.
Alex Pandel is director of the Human Services Portfolio at 18F, speaking with Federal News Network's Jason Miller. Hear part three of the interview after one more quick break. I'm Eric White.
Your network is the backbone of your agency, and during this pandemic, network capacity, speed, and security are more important than ever. Consider what IDC describes as the most significant advancement in the networking industry, software-defined WAN. Riverbed and Swish have teamed together to bring you SteelConnect EX, a centralized policy-based platform for dynamically managing application traffic across links and delivering the agility and cost-effectiveness your agency needs. Agility, performance, and security. Visit us at riverbed.com.
Here's part three of our interview with Alex Pandel, director of 18F's Human Services Portfolio, speaking with Federal News Network's Jason Miller.
Is anything stand out to you, whether through this research or just your work at 18F, stand out to you as a time where you're getting maybe pushback on an effort and then you're able to say, hey, but look at this policy, or hey, look, this was done before. This is not so risky. You don't have to be obviously specific to the agency, but is there an example or anecdote you can provide?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like something that's really useful is, so the Paperwork Reduction Act is a really great policy that exists to essentially like reduce the amount of paperwork and information we're asking from the public at any given time, which is great because it saves the public's time. But sometimes that has been interpreted to mean that any sort of user research is not allowed because it's like, well, you're asking questions of the public. So that's really problematic. But we have been able to actually look into that and understand a little bit more about how that applies to certain types of research, like non-structured conversations, and put out some guidance in 18F's method cards that shared some information about that. And that's been really, really helpful in conversations with our partners to understand where is the boundary between what is actually a burden to the public and what is well within their realm to be able to do. And that's really helped make space in a lot of agencies to be able to do the kind of user research that really helps them deliver better services to the public. So that's sort of one example that comes to mind that we see a lot in our work of that authoritative guidance really, really helping pave the way.
One of the other things that I would like to just try to touch upon as well is how do these challenges, these barriers, and as well as the solutions compared to the private sector. Do private sector companies have very similar ones that you found, or are they different for a host of reasons, including they don't have a Congress they have to go to ask for money?
Yeah, I mean, I think in many ways, a lot of these themes are relevant to the private sector as well. It just like kind of over and over, it just seems like a lot of times it was more intense in the government. So the barriers were more challenging or the best practices were more important. And, you know, I think one example is, you know, the government is ultimately not profit oriented, they're mission oriented, which can make it more urgent and sometimes like more challenging for things like trying to make the benefits and value of transformation really concrete, since you can't really point to, you know, it increased our profits this amount. It's much more qualitative in terms of it improved the user experience this amount, or it increased access to this service. So I think like that just different fundamental motivation sort of shifts the focus. And then also just some like historical context, like the fact that government tends to work in a more hierarchical way can be a little bit more challenging. But yeah, in many ways, a lot of the barriers were quite similar across both the private and public sector.
Walk me through a little bit about how you guys have socialized this report, however you use this report. And I know it was put out there a couple of years ago now, but however you use this report to really either help agencies understand transformation, or have you used this report to educate the government, the CIO community, the broader community?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question. So I'll be honest that our original intention was to actually complete a second phase of research on this project. This was a relatively preliminary report. So in that second phase, we were aiming to really add more like direct quotes, more primary stories, and also try to make it like even more actionable and concrete so that we could have something like a handbook or a playbook that we would then be able to really like get out there, socialize via the blog and social media. We did not end up getting that second round of funding, but what is really cool about how H&F works is we do everything in the open. So even our preliminary report that we're talking about right now is live on GitHub, and that's the primary way that we've been sharing it with our partners. What's nice too about like the whole premise of the research is it was really important to us. Like we needed answers to these questions as sort of supporters of other federal agencies and agencies at all levels to do this transformation work. So we really refer to what we learned in the report every day in how we structure our projects, how we approach collaboration with our partners, what sort of practices we recommend in our day-to-day work. So we at H&F use it sort of every day and also refer our partners to use it if they want to kind of dig in more and hear a little bit more about what they can be doing to make it easier for their agencies to move in the right direction.
Whether you use this report or just more generally, what is one or two things that you'd point to that seems to be working time and again when you talk about transformation and federal agencies?
I think there's like three main things that come to mind. And as I say them, we may learn that they're actually the same thing. I'm not sure. But, you know, I talked about two of them already. One is really just centering everything on the user and on the constituent and like really just grounding all decisions about what to do on what does the user need. Like that is just time and time again, the quickest way to sort of fundamentally shift how an agency works. I think working cross-functionally is the other one that I already talked about that really like that is just sort of table stakes for us when we work with our partners in terms of trying to get good outcomes. One we didn't really talk about as much, and we didn't talk about as explicitly in the report either, but since then has just been so glaringly obvious. It's such an important practice, is really ensuring that like product and program ownership is in-house with the government agency. So we think it's really important that the government works super closely with their contractors and their vendors, and they aren't just trying to kind of outsource the risk or outsource their mission to another entity. It's really, really important for that sort of mission orientation and sort of prioritization of work to come from the government agency, because at the end of the day, they're the experts in the program. So a lot of our work recently at H&F has been helping empower our partners with like the skills and the tools that they need to become really empowered product owners, because that has really gone far in helping like the agencies that we've worked with who have been most successful after our engagement has ended are the ones where they really had a strong product leader inside the government who is like running the show and calling the shots in how the product evolved. So I think that product ownership in-house is the note I would like to leave on.
Alex Pandel is 18F's Director of Human Services Portfolio, speaking there with Federal News Network's Jason Miller. If you missed any part of this episode or would like to share it, you can find it on our website at federalnewsnetwork.com. Search Federal Insights. I'm Eric White.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights. Digital transformation depends on infrastructure modernization. Sponsored by Swish Data and Riverbed Technologies.